JoeBucksFan.com presents with Ozzy, the sports junkie.
You're into that.
Insight and insanity.
You silly man, hope I never get back in there. I will kick your
all from the mind of Ozzy the sports junkie.
Let's get this party started. How you feeling?
What is up? Where do you heard Ozzy the sports junkie back on the Joe Bucks Fan Podcast? Buccaneers get it done yesterday. A huge win against the Rams. What could only be described as a freaking heavyweight knockout blow by blow. The Bucs up 21-0, and you had a feeling, well, the way that pass defense is gone, it started to slip. And as far as weaknesses, there's not a whole lot other than that. I mean, the line play, I was impressed with the pass protection Jameis got. And for the record, best performance I've seen Jameis Winston in a Buccaneer uniform. There, I said it. The best performance I've seen him in a Buccaneer uniform. I mean, he was dropping dimes. He hits Mike Evans in stride, something that I've been bitching and moaning about that he can't hit guys in stride. He does. He's lighting Chris Godwin up. But if you had Chris Godwin on your fantasy team, you won going away. Godwin, 172 yards, 14 targets, 12 catches, 2 touchdowns. Evans had one 67-yarder, the long. Rojo, he had a feel for Ronald Jones. He got some great blocking up front and some holes that, well, a guy like him could just create on his home turf where he played his college ball. Two huge runs, including one for a touchdown that was called back due to penalties. That was the only bit of a downer. But truth be told, he ran for 79 yards, 19 attempts, went for a 24-yarder that did take, and he got a touchdown. Barber also with a touchdown. Buccaneers were cruising at one point at halftime. You're thinking, all right, step on the neck. Step on the neck. We had the Giants down the week before. Can we close this freaking thing out? The Rams get right back into it, albeit without a running game. That Buccaneer defensive line, say what you want about the defensive back play. The line's letting nobody through. Todd Gurley was a non-factor. 16 yards on 5 touches. The long was a 13-yarder I think he took in the end zone. He did get 2 touchdowns. Goff finishes 5-17. 45 of 68, 2 touchdowns, 3 picks. So the Bucs converting those turnovers into points. Anybody who thinks we have a kicker problem, get real. Matt Gay crushes a 58 freaking yard. Are you kidding me? We may have problems, but a kicker ain't one of them. And you've got to feel the Todd Bowles. Given now 2 games in a row, that defensive pass coverage has just been atrocious. I mean, 30 yards at a clip. That zone, whatever you want to call it, that soft zone coverage is just not going to get it done. They get the win, but still some work to be done. How's this for a number, you gambling degenerates, as I clearly am one of you? The Bucs go into the game 12-0. 12-0 as road dogs of 6.5 points or more, coming off a home game in which they scored 24 points or more. We'll go ahead and make that 13-0 after Sunday's game. 9.5 was the opening line. Speaking of opening lines, the opening line on the Saints game was almost up to 4. Buccaneer money came hard and heavy. Some casinos have it under 3 now. So a very tumultuous start to the season, I got to say. The Bucs could easily be 4-0 or could be easily 0-4. As Bruce Arians pointed out, it's the last 5 minutes that's going to decide the game. I'll agree to an extent on that. I'd like to not go down to the wire if possible. At some point, you got to start to learn just to put the foot on the neck and close teams down. When it was clear that the Rams had no running game, you drop a linebacker back and you think you'd have a little bit tighter grip on the pass protection, but Woods went off. 13 catches for 164. Cooper Kupp with 121 yards. Gurley had 54 through the air. And Brandon Cooks with 71 as well. So the ball was being distributed, well, all over the field. You know, I can make an argument. Everyone wants to talk about the big, bad L.A. Rams. I'll go so far as to say we have just as many weapons on the Buccaneers' offensive side of the ball. And you know I'm going to be the last person in the world to get up and wave the big Jameis Winston flag or the big 3 foam finger. I've already told you I thought it was his greatest game as a Buccaneer. Does that have him penciled in for $300 million, 10-year deal? No. Let's see how the season finishes out. But I can at least acknowledge a great game when I see it, and he played a great game. Had the pick. These things happen. You're going to throw 5 touchdowns, I'll take a pick. But listen and listen clear. There's no way that you're going to be giving up 40-plus points on a weekly basis and expect Jameis Winston, Joe Namath, or Tom Brady to compete in that kind of circumstance. It's not going to happen. So I'll take the win, and I'll hope Todd Bowles takes the film and breaks it down with Arians and crew and says, we got to figure a way to shut the passing game down because we're getting it done up front. Speaking of up front, how about our boy? Vita Vey is playing like a madman. You know, I poo-pooed that pick. Boy, was I dead wrong. Dead wrong. He plays nasty. He plays ugly. He's greasy. He slams guys into the ground. But how about our boy, Ndamukong Suh, picks up the loose ball a la Wilbur Marshall in the 85 Bears, closing out that NFC Championship game against Dieter Brock and the Rams. He goes to the house. And don't tell me that old Ndamukong didn't play fullback or maybe a little tight end at the point in his football career, because my man had some moves. He's shimmying and squeezing. I mean, he's got the ball cradled. He looked like a thicker version of maybe Earl Campbell. So my man had some moves, so he takes it to the house. That was the dagger. Bucks win the game. Don't tell me that if you're Bruce Arians and company or Byron Leftwich, I'm working Ndamukong Suh into some kind of a rhino package. You know, that all started with the Bears in 85. Don't tell me if it's fourth and inches, you put a blocking back in for Ndamukong. How about no blocking back? Just him against the entire line. He's going to get an inch or two, if not a foot. I mean, it's been a long time since I've seen a guy with that kind of moves. And it was great to see, especially because it was the dagger at the closing kill shot, if you will. As great as the Buccaneers offense played and the defensive line played well. And you, how about Matt Gay with the 58-yarder? Unbelievable. Can't let the other team score every single time they get the ball. Chris Myers kept trying to give the game away. That would have been a heartbreaker. That would have been an absolute heartbreaker. Up by 21 in the first half to not close that thing off. And if I'm talking about it, I would assume Bruce Arians is talking about it. And the players are going to hear about it all week long. But you know what else those players are going to hear? The voice in their head that says, God damn, we went out there to L.A., and we beat their ass. The NFC champion, high-flying Rams, we took it to them. Who's to say we don't go into the Dome on Sunday up there in Nollins? Stay out of Bourbon Street the night before. Hell, you get a win, you party. You party all the way to first place in the NFC South, a division that's just theirs for the taking. I'm sorry, Drew Brees out, Cam Newton with his, well, sore foot and cross-dressing issues. This thing is wide open for the Buccaneers to take it. And a win like that, I'm done with the pontification that this win is bigger than that win or this win means more. If you go back to that Tony Dungy era and you remember the big win against San Francisco at home where we stuck Steve Young into the ground, it was kind of a coming out party for a lot of those Buccaneers, Warren Sapp, Derek Brooks, and of course Tony Dungy. I can equate somewhat to that game on Sunday. You could say that was a bit of a, you stick that feather in your cap, a win in L.A., against the NFC champs. That's one you can put in your hat, gentlemen, and that's one that's gonna you can draw on later. And speaking of LA, how about the Buccaneer crowd that showed up out there? That was pretty damn impressive. Huge contingency of Buccaneer fans out there at the old Olympic Stadium. And I'll tell you what, I want to know who the hell the groundskeeper is. That might have been the most beautiful turf I've ever seen in my life. You could lay down and take a nap right on that thing. It looks so beautiful. Just gorgeous conditions out there. Makes you wonder why the hell we live in Florida. 72, zero humidity. Yesterday, 92, 100% humidity. That being said, Florida, we're coming up on our 6 months of beautiful weather, and I'll take it, and I'll take the Bucks win. Another thing I saw, a few things off the field. See Bruce Arians signing autographs for the game. I love it. He's appreciating fans because we've had some a-hole coaches. Not this time. Again, I'm not going to put too much into a win or too much into a loss. We're 2-2. Heading into New Orleans, a Drew Brees-less team. It's going to take more than a Teddy Bridgewater to get it done. Now, they got Kamara. They've got Thomas, a wide receiver. They got a lot of weapons as well. And the Buccaneers, they've had some wins in New Orleans, but it's also been a house of horrors. By the way, I was looking at airfare. $49 as early as this morning. You could fly round trip. $49 round trip out of Tampa. You crazy? And if you spend the kind of money that I did at Harrah's last time I was there, well, you get a free room. So, not counting anything out. What a town and what a time to go check out a game. Who knows where the cold wind blows? I'd love to get up to New Orleans. We'll see how it all plays out. Party town. Hoping to shut it down, though. Hoping to shut down that Saints team and come back at least for a visit and a practice in Tampa, as they'll, the next week they'll go out to jolly old England to take on a Panthers team they've already beat once with a dinged up Cam Newton. I'd go just strictly to see what the hell he's going to wear. He might come out in one of those guard uniforms, the big fedora cap or whatever the hell it's called, the big hat. Just stare straight ahead. So the Bucs get it done. I was impressed with the offensive line and defensive line. The lead was early and the lead was often. Cruising at one point, up by 21 points, but you had to know at any point the Rams could come back in that game, and they sure as hell did. Chris Myers kept trying to give the game away. That'd have been a brutal loss, but it wasn't. The Bucs win. And did you see this? I see this all the time, and I made mention of it on Twitter. You can follow me on Twitter at Ozzy Radio or Ozzy the Sports Junkie Radio. I got a couple out there. I think they're me. Maybe a fake one or two out there, but I guess it means people were listening when they fraudulently post as you. You get a lot of grief hearing, you know, the Buccaneers are going to suck because they got a horrible ownership group, and I'm not even going to watch them until the Glazers get rid of them because they're terrible owners and they don't do anything to make the team any better. They just pocket all the money. I'm here to tell you, bullshit. For the last decade, they've been one of the most active teams in free agency. Now, all they can do is sign players based on the advice of the football people that they hire. Now, have those decisions been wrong as far as who they've hired? Yeah. Yeah, most of those have, considering we go through a coach and a GM about every 4 years here. So if they're guilty of anything, it's hiring the wrong people. I know they got the right guy in Arians. Whether or not Light makes it through, well, that's anybody's guess. I don't know how much power he's going to have anyways. I think Arians calls the whole routine. I guarantee the part of the deal he got to come to Tampa was that Light stays there for the duration. So he might be by proxy he's the general manager. Who cares? Back to the point in hand. You know, the Glazers get just this crack for being cheap and not paying any attention and having no interest. And they put all their money and interest into a Man U. You might want to check with the folks in England. The folks in jolly old Manchester may have a different... The good folks over there say that they're a bit of an absentee ownership. I know that their payroll is quite high. I don't really follow the English League, Premier League. I like a good friendly as much as the next guy. Point is this. It took a long time getting to this, didn't it? Hey, man, we got to win. Lay off me. Don't take yourself so serious. You want X's and O's? Go watch Merrill Hodge. I'm sure somewhere he's breaking out a cover three nickel zone read blitz option. And I got a news flash. Unless you're sitting on the stadium upper tier, how the fuck are you watching that on TV anyways, coach? You see what they're doing here? They're not dropping the nickel back to the corner slot position. Okay, that's great, and it's probably true. But 99.999% of us watch football on TV where you don't see any of that on a regular basis. They follow the ball. That tends to be where the action of the football game is. And I get heat for that. I get heat for anything. I could say I cured cancer, or I'm a big boy. To wrap up the Glazer point, the point is this. I saw Brian and Joel Glazer at the entrance of that Buccaneer locker room in L.A. after that game. And to a man, every person that came in there, they're high-fiving him, they're slapping him on the back, and Bruce Arians comes around the corner, and you would have think that it was their long-lost little brother. They picked him up. These guys are coming together as a team, and Bruce Arians has these guys believing that they can win. Well, they believed it, and they did it. So don't tell me that little nugget, that little seed is planted in guys' heads to think, well, we're going to New York, there's no way we can win there. Why not? We won in L.A. Are we going to the Bears? We're in Chicago. It's ugly. It's cold. Why not? Are they there yet? No. They're not a championship caliber team yet. But considering the last 15 years of complete futility and utter failure in everything they've attempted, I take a little bit and happiness in a Buccaneers win where they didn't backdoor it. They didn't win by default. They won by going out there and putting their foot on the pedal. They should put their foot on the throat more, and then we wouldn't have these tight ball games. But I'll take it where I can get it. So the Bucs get it done yesterday. 55 points, a record, most ever for a regular season Buccaneer game. Once again, if you're scoring at home, Rojo goes for 70. Barber for 19. Jameis Winston, which just goes absolutely berserk. 28 of 41 for 385. Way over 500 yards total on the offensive side of the ball. Not just for Jameis, but the offense in general. Godwin just has the monster day. Mike Evans with a 67-yarder to the house and tap dancing on the goal line, which pissed off the Rams. Yep, stop me if you don't like it. I did have to look at the clock. I thought, is he trying to kill the clock? There was like 12 minutes left. So a little bit of showboating, but who cares? I think Mike Evans is sick of losing. I think he made that pretty clear, too. And he probably enjoys winning. He probably enjoys doing it in Los Angeles in front of a lot of people. So if I sound pumped up, I am. So the Bucs get it done. Shaq Barrett, another unbelievable game. A sack and I think forced two turnovers. He got a whack in on a Jared Goff pass that I believe it was picked. I haven't broken film yet. I got to get out the projector when I get home. A few other notes and musings as I watch that game. How about the absolute nuclear bomb that Donovan Smith laid on the L.A. Ram headed to the end zone? I think that was about 5 to 6 years of frustration, of turnovers, of losses, of losing football, and sick and tired of everybody saying that he sucks at that left tackle position, and he blew this guy into another freaking dimension. I mean, just an absolute explosion, and that is an all-timer. In my book, I put that at 5 on the Scott Brantley Eric Hipple meter. And if you don't know what that is, well, sorry, I talked about the old days too much. Google it. Donovan Smith with a star. Maybe they ought to start giving Sargil stars out. Give little Bucko Bruce stars. How classic is that Bucko Bruce logo from the old helmet? Classic. 55-40, 500 yards, and the Rams also took it to 500 yards. I've not found the answer, but I will. Who's the last time a team gave up 500 yards total offense and won the game? If you know it, Ozzy the Sports Junkie at yahoo.com. Or chime in on the Ozzy the Sports Junkie website, and there's a little chat section. Or put it below in the comments here where y'all slay me. Hey, man, I'm passionate about my Buccaneers. If you don't like it, I don't know what to tell you. All right, Leo Haggerty's going to join me. Break down a little bit more the X's and O's for all you banana wide spider left cover true zone cover read blitz option fold back nickel package gurus out there. It's amazing that you're not in coaching, really. It really is that you couldn't have taken all your brilliant knowledge and gone on to make a fortune in coaching instead of, well, commenting on a website. But we thank you for commenting. And if you're going to comment on any site, Joe Bucs fan's a leader. There's no, absolutely no question. Did you notice in the post-game presser yesterday, my boy Lee from Joe Bucs fan, first question out of the gate. Lee's getting it done. Had a big burrito out there. I would not want to be the chambermaid who had to go in and clean up Lee's room post-LA game. You got to love the two Joes. They enjoy the Buccaneers, and they enjoy football, and they enjoy life, and that's what it's all about, people. All right. Bucs get a win 55-40 to break it all down and look forward to the New Orleans contest this Sunday in the Dome. Man, I got to go check out. See if I got any money on a credit card. See if I can charge that trip. See if I start driving tonight. Can I be there Thursday, Friday? I'll do the math. Check him out. Ozzy the Sports Junkie on JoeBucsFan.com. Don't forget to check me out. OzzyTheSportsJunkie.com. Go to SoundCloud, Spotify, iTunes, Google Play. You name it. It's there. Podcast live. Yelling out a window. Ham radio, you name it. Roku, by the way, Roku audio channel. 8 million homes if you need me. 8 million homes. Not bad, huh? Generally, you have to commit a violent act to get into 8 million homes on TV. Well, this show can get a little violent. All right. After this, Leo Haggerty talking some Bucks, Rams, and the little Bucks, Saints. As we're 2-2, folks. How about 3-2 after next Sunday? Back after this on the Ozzy Radio Network, JoeBucsFan.com.
Fuck. Ozzy's off his medication.
I told him he was crazy.
You're listening to the Sports Junkie Radio Network.
All right, on the Joe Bucks Fan Podcast, as usual, I go to my insider, the man on the scene. He called it. He is Leo Haggerty from It Sports Magazine. Leo, I got to hand it to you, my man. You called it. You called for the victory. By God, you got it. A little too close for comfort as far as the defense goes. What'd you think of our Buccaneers yesterday, putting 55 on the NFC champions yesterday in L.A.?
You drop a double nickel on the Rams. You're doing pretty well. And you know, I was thinking about this. If somebody would have told me before the game that the Rams are going to score 40 points, I'm saying, well, Bucs lose.
Exactly. You know,
I don't expect them to do any better than that. But, you know, what happened was four big turnovers that the Bucs turned into 28 points. Now, that's big. But what's bigger is the 28 that the Rams couldn't get. So now you got a 56-point swing in there. The 28 the Bucs got, the 28 the Rams couldn't get. And, Oz, when you look at that, it was pretty easy to handicap in terms of what the Bucs needed to do and take the page out of the New England Patriots playbook in the Super Bowl. Just confuse Goff. And that's what they did. They came at him from different angles. They didn't actually sack him a lot.
You got to be concerned with that Buccaneer pass defense, because they're just giving up huge plays time after time after time. The line's playing great. They shut down the run. There was no run yesterday, but boy, they could throw at will. What do you do about that?
Oz, the funny thing was the score basically took the running game away from the Rams. You're down 21-0. I mean, the playbook's out the window right now.
Sure.
He threw it 68 times. That's unreal when you think about it. And the defense, it always starts with the defensive line. If you can get pressure, and they got enough pressure on Goff, but the key is, and this is what bothers me about next week with the Saints, is Teddy Bridgewater is the same type of guy. He's a quick strike thrower. He likes to get the ball out within 8 to 10 yards, boom, and let his running backs, let his receivers do it. And that's what Goff was trying to do. And the Bucs, they played it smart. They played soft. They said, okay, you know what? We're playing the clock here. We're up 21-0. We're up 28-7. Just let's make them go the length of the field. And a lot of times the Rams couldn't.
Leo Haggerty joins me at sportsmagazine.com. I noticed you had a tweet, Leo, during the game yesterday that the Buccaneers, I'm not quite sure, was it the Buccaneers defense was locked into a set position or was it the Rams? It seemed kind of like they were both, because either quarterback threw at will.
Yeah, it was. I'm just, you know, mesmerized by the fact that you're not getting pressure on quarterbacks. If that guy's throwing it in three steps, push your defensive backs up.
Right.
Move them up and take that away. And again, we saw a little bit of zone blitz from the Bucs, which was something they hadn't shown.
Nice to see,
so
huh?
Again, yeah, nice touch. But I'm going to ask you a question. Does Carly Lloyd get a game ball? I think she does.
For lighting the fire under Dave's ass. I'll tell you what, there's a lot of things that might be wrong. Well, I don't think the list is as long as people used to think it was. I think it's a short list now of problems on this current Buccaneers squad. I don't think kicker's one of them, man. Sure, he missed a kick last week. He also made four, and the son of a bitch made a 58-yarder in an enemy territory that would have been good from 65. We got ourselves a kicker. Kicker is no longer an issue.
Oh, absolutely. You know what? I'm waiting for a Bucs fan or even somebody from the team to sneak an ad into the Tampa Times and say, "Hey, Carly, can you make a 58-yarder?"
Yeah.
Probably not.
You know, I'm all about
motivation.
I'm all for women. If she can catch on with the team, hey, I'd be all for it. But we're done laughing about the Buccaneers kicking woes. That's come and gone. We've got a kicker now. So Brian Gay's getting it done. I mean, this kid. Sure, he missed the chip shot last week. There was a lot of things that went wrong in that ball game. He also made four. A 58-yarder on the road. That's a tough kick. As beautiful as it was, boy. For a 100-year-old stadium, you got to hand it to the groundskeepers out there. That looked like, I mean, you can just lay on the floor. That looked like a nicer than any carpeting that you'd ever see. Sure, it's a 100-year-old stadium, but there's a lot of history there. But they've kept that place in beautiful shape. Speaking of which, Rojo Jones makes a return to where he had his glory years in college at USC. You had to feel bad for Rojo, Leo. Here's a guy, he could have easily had a 200-yard day, two long runs brought back. One was a touchdown. He had to feel bad for the kid. But on the good side, I think they've got their starting running back. Even if it's a combination of Barber and him, I think Rojo is the hot hand to go to now. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, yeah. And you know what the nice thing? It gives Bruce Arians a nice... Again, this was the kid who was on the scrap heap after, you know, Dirk Cutter got done with him. They're saying, you know, oh, he's a bust and everything. Yeah, and you know what? Kudos to the offensive line here, Oz. They played pretty darn well for what they had to deal with. Again, they got the lead, and I'll tell you what, the Donovan Smith hit on his that is going to send a message to the rest of the league. And I'll tell you what, I think they're probably the other four offensive linemen will chip in money for the fine, because
Donovan Smith came like a land-air missile, all 380 pounds, full-born. He left his feet, Leo, and he exploded that bastard. I think he left the game. He still doesn't know where he's at.
I will take 3 touchdowns and 1 pick every Sunday.
Absolutely.
Because do the math, okay? 16 times 3, okay? That's 48. 16 times, that's 48 touchdown passes and 16 picks. I'll take that every day of the week.
And do you think, Leo, I'm just thinking out loud here. If Jameis knew he had a defense that could keep that ball out of the end zone going the other way, you think that gives him a little more confidence in the pocket? I think it would.
Oh, yeah. He's still under the mindset, and this is the hardest thing I think that Bruce Arians and Byron Leftwich have to break with him, is that we don't have to score every possession. We're getting to a point where our defense is going to stop some people. So don't feel like you have to throw things into really extreme tight windows. If it's not there, throw it away. We'll punt it, and we'll get it back for you. But, you know, he was under the impression, and rightfully so, the past 2 or 3 years, that he needed to score every possession.
Sure.
Because that defense couldn't stop anybody.
Exactly. And that's the truth. If he didn't score every possession, they're going to lose the ball game. So then that maybe forces passes that he wouldn't throw. I think if that defense clamps down, the line's fine. They've shut down. Don't forget, this is a team that started out only allowed a touchdown a week in the first 2 games. They allowed 2 touchdowns through 2 games, and we thought it was a lockdown 85 Bears. Well, that changed in the Giants game, and it really changed yesterday. You cannot think that Winston, put that 40 points on his shoulder every week. They've got to slow down. We'll see how they play in New Orleans. A New Orleans team, even without Drew Brees, they've made a living on feasting on Buccaneer secondaries. So I think it's going to be very telling, and we'll see what Todd Bowles is made of. But maybe I think there's some talent back there. I think Hargraves might have blown his contract extension already. Maybe. There's a lot of season left, but we'll worry about that as the season goes on. He played great in preseason, and his first 2 games he played awesome. But the last 2 weeks, Leo, all I see is the back of his jersey chasing somebody. So that's not a good sign.
Well, and you know what, Oz? Here's the problem. I think most of the time it's Cover 4. And the safety's biting up. And, I mean, that's just, if you look at it, it's a guy running a post, an in route on him, correct? I mean, it's not somebody running up the sideline, somebody running up the middle of the field.
If you
and
know
he's
that.
Chasing him because he's, a, yeah, you look at that. The hardest thing on defense, you've got to disguise the Cover 4. If you don't, and again, for the listeners, when we talk about Cover 4, we're talking about 4 deep. Both corners, both safeties, they're back, they're dividing the field. The problem is, if the quarterback picks that up before the snap, if the pre-snap read is Cover 4, they're going to run a receiver in front of the safety, and they're going to run another receiver behind the safety running a skinny post or a seam. And here's the corner expecting the safety to be there, and he bites up. And that's what I think's the problem right now.
And that leaves your corner in no man's land.
Right, and he's chasing forever and a day.
So
I can remember up in Carolina that Rondé got burned for what looked like an 85-yard touchdown pass. Well, you know, John Lynch bit up, and you know, Rondé just happened to be in the area chasing. And you know, oh man, so everybody thinks it's your man. You know, that's the whole thing. Unless you can see the play develop, you don't actually know what's coming out, what the coverage is. Because most of the time, the guy who's chasing is not the guy who's supposed to be there.
Leo, if you know that and I know that, Todd Bowles has to know that. The guy's a defensive guru, allegedly. Got to, how about Ndamukong Suh picking that ball up going to the house? He's got some moves. Somewhere he was a tight end, Leo. That wasn't a defensive lineman career.
Would you want to tackle him?
No, I'm telling you right now, if the Buccaneers, and Arians is a clever guy, if you're in a shortage, a fourth and one or a fourth and inches, you go with a rhino backfield, who the hell's going to get in Ndamukong Suh's way? Because he's not a fat 300 pounds. He's in shape. Watch the highlight reel of him going to the house. He had some shimmy and move to him. And to win like that in L.A., and did you happen to notice? Post-game, well, first off, there was a big contingency of Buccaneer fans there, and I saw Arian signing autographs, and he's pumping people up. This guy's a real deal, and I don't care if you can call him a cheerleader all you want. This team needs a cheerleader because we've hired a bunch of bozos who've done nothing. Bruce Arians is winning right now. And now, granted, we've seen them get off to good starts before and fall flat on their face, so let's not get too ahead of ourselves. But I did see this, and I'm sick and damn tired of people saying this team's never going to win until the Glazers sell them. Well, if you're waiting for the Glazers to sell the team, go ahead and pick another team because they're not selling anything. This team appreciates $100 million. And there was Brian and there was Joel at the locker room entrance patting every guy on the ass saying, way to go, hitting, naming players. And when they saw Arians, Leo, it was like their little brother. And he picked them up and gave him a bear hug. I'm telling you, there's something brewing up there.
Yeah, and you know what, Oz? They're the perfect owners. They don't get involved.
That's
here's
right.
The checkbook. Go win. Hey, would you like Daniel Snyder to be your owner right now?
He's a bum.
Washington is in shambles.
He proved what he could do.
Shambles.
He could do nothing. He screwed up everything he did, and now he just gave up. He said, all right, well, I got John Gruden's brother. Screw it. We'll finish 5-11, and I'll just build the world's largest yacht or whatever he's doing. I think he lost interest in football altogether.
Back to September 1.
Sure.
If I'd have told you the Bucks were 2-2, at the end of September, would you have taken it?
Abso-freaking-lutely. Headed into New Orleans? Absolutely.
Yep. And again, I said if this team, for whatever reason, is 4-5 coming out of this debacle of a road trip, I call it the NFL banishment tour.
I love it.
It's crazy. It is crazy. I called it the persecution tour, but I tell you, that was a little harsh, even for me.
Well, you know, they're still trying to get over that in the Middle Ages. There's still people's feelings hurt over that.
Exactly, yeah, you know. Oz, we should call it the Inquisition. But
the Inquisition, even better, yeah.
They'd start looking it up on Google and all that, so let's just stay with banishment tour.
All right, so they cover the number.
You know what, Oz?
Go ahead.
We're sitting there after 9 games at 4-5, and they've got 5 home games coming up. They could win 9, maybe 10 games.
Yes.
That's a possibility because you're coming out of that disastrous road trip. And again, most of us had the Rams in the beginning of the year as, okay, that's an L. And most of us had New Orleans as an L because there's Drew Brees. But they got a shot now. And again, you sat there and you said, I just want a competitive football. Well, I think you got the competitive football team. Now it's time to say, I want a winning football team.
You're absolutely right, Leo Haggerty. I want a winning football team. And I think yesterday, at one game, we're not going to get too far ahead of ourselves because I tend to do that. Yesterday was competitive football. The whole season has been competitive football. You can't say that even the Giants' loss wasn't competitive. We had that game 17-0. You could easily say, Leo, this is crazy. They could be 4-0. They could be 0-4.
Oh, right. And,
yeah.
And that's, you know what? Somebody put out on the website, on Facebook, they said, there's no way the Bucks can win. Somebody tell me how the Bucks can win. I had a 3-word answer. You know what it was? Any given Sunday,
and you know what a win like that does? We flew across country to the NFC champion's house in the second biggest market in this country, and we flat laid it out, and we just scored at will on them. Sure, we had some defensive flaws. Sure, we need to tighten up a few areas on that side of the ball who have untapped potential that maybe they weren't brought out in the Cutters and the Shianos and the slew of horrible coaches have come through here. I think Arians is a winner, and I think Todd Bowles is what he's getting out of that defensive line. If he could just turn it around, what a game Lavonte David had as well. And Shaq Barrett, this guy, mean and ugly, and I love it. This, you know, this team built its reputation. Even in the thinnest of years, Leo, there was some hard-hitting players on the Buccaneer defense, and at least we're starting to see that back. Again,
I'm telling you,
we can't get too confident when we're giving up 45 points or whatever it was, but I'll take the win, and they know what they need to work on.
The Saints aren't going to hold them to 10 points. That's not going to happen.
Absolutely
you
not.
Know, there's just too many weapons. And you know what? I said Andy Reid has so many toys out there in Kansas City, and that, I'll tell you what, Bruce Arians got some playthings here, too.
He's got quite a toy chest, my friend, between the two wide receivers, and you, like you mentioned, Perryman has not even been looked at yet.
There's a running game now. That's the key. And again, I kind of pissed Bruce Arians off early in preseason. I said, Coach, can you win on this level with a substandard running? He said, we're not a substandard running game.
I never
got a chance to say, Coach, I wasn't talking about you. He said, we will run the football.
Ozzy the Sports Junkie, Joe Box fan. Check me out right here, exclusively on JoeBoxFan.com.
Hi, this is Leroy Selman, Buccaneer Hall of Famer, and you're listening to Ozzy the Sports Junkie on 1280 WTMY.